This is Kevin Conroy,
the voice of Batman.
And you're listening to the DCAU Review, hosted by Cal and Liam, streaming at DCAUReview.com and on your favorite podcast app.
Get charged up for action that'll shock your system.
Tell me that's not cool.
An unstoppable superhero and his crew embark on impossible missions and will bring mutated villains to justice.
When static's in the house, bad guys better step off.
Pull the plug on crime with the adventures of Static Shock. Yeah!
Welcome, everybody, to episode 298 of the DCAU Review. I'm Liam, and with me, as he always is Cal. Cal, another Static Shock month of reviews is coming to the end here. In February, we just celebrated the late, great Dwayne McDuffie's birthday this week. Co-creator, of course, of Static and all of the Milestone characters. So what better way to finish off our latest day in Static than with another one of this series' patented celebrity guest star playing themselves episodes of Static Shock.
Yeah, it's maybe not the most infamous of the episodes. We've still yet to cover that one. On a future enjoyable episode that we'll cover down the line, but this week's episode certainly, I think, has its own reason for standing it out, and that, of course, is because it is the episode Romeo in the Mix, which features a co-starring role by the early 2000s hit kid rapper Lil Romeo, who is playing himself in the episode. And it is certainly an interesting episode to discuss, and one that we've probably looked forward to for quite a long time. I don't know that I ever saw the entirety of the episode. We were just recounting before we went on the air, watching the end of the episode at one of our grandparents' house at one point. But I don't know that I ever saw the full episode. And if I did, I had long forgotten the plot and how Lil Romeo made it into the episode. But yeah, we'll have plenty of stuff to discuss on this week's episode as we do our full breakdown and review of everything.
That's right, Cal. And before we get there, we, of course, will have to hit everyone with the official IMDb synopsis for the episode, which is, of course, brought to you by the Pod Tower YouTube channel, where you can hear plenty of DCAU-related audio podcasts, including stuff from Jump on the Batwagon, James and Brian currently going through Superman, the animated series on that show. There's also the Bat Catalog for Tim Talk, and a little show called the DCAU Review. That's our official YouTube home. So head up there and subscribe to the Pod Tower, youtube.com/thePodTower today. And another little reminder, and us on our knees begging a little bit, is that at any point, if you go onto Apple Podcasts and leave us a 5-star review, we will not only read it on the air and give you a shout out, but we'll also send you little gifts if you reach out to us on the socials. So don't believe we have a new review this week, but something to keep in mind if, in fact, you are listening to us on the Apple Podcasts app. But with all of those plugs out of the way, let's get here, Cal, to the official IMDb synopsis for Romeo in the Mix, which was written by Rhonda Smiley with teleplay by Len Muley. Directed by question mark once again, because like every episode this month, seemingly, there was just no director credited. We have music. Officially music is by Richard Wolff, but we also have like three Lil Romeo tracks in here. So let's go music by Richard Wolff and Lil Romeo and Master P and whoever else is credited as a writer on those songs. Mm-hmm. And of course, animation by Coco. And that very long synopsis reads as such. Bernie Rast manages to convince Lil Romeo to let Daisy and Frida direct his next video with a promise that Static will make an appearance. When a new metahuman leech comes to town, he accidentally abducts the wrong Static. When Static goes to rescue Romeo, he loses his power, but a determined Romeo helps save the day.
You know, the point of a synopsis is to sort of, you know, abbreviate the description of a story. And I think when you start getting into the fifth and sixth sentence describing what's going on, you've kind of gone against the idea of a synopsis, but I didn't hear anything too terribly infactual about the synopsis.
No, they didn't establish that Romeo was in a static costume. Mm-hmm. They just said they grabbed the wrong static.
Yeah.
But otherwise, not a bad synopsis. But yes, as we kick things off, we see Hot Streak robbing a bank of some sort, and things seem to be going all right, but then all of a sudden a seemingly familiar face appears behind him, but it turns out it's not who we think it is.
I thought that sounded like you, Bond. Want to steal some wheels? Go ahead, but these are mine. You're not Ebon. You're some kind of freak. Hey, I can't ignite.
No, but I can.
Where am I?
A jail cell, dear boy. You should feel right at home.
Ebon, what are you doing here?
He took my powers too, chump.
What are you?
The leech. Because I can suck the powers out of other metahumans. And once I collect all you bang babies, I'm going to be unstoppable. A mega metahuman. So if you'll excuse me, time to find some more suckies. Suckers. My life
is free. That's right. Yeah, we kind of get a little bit of that, but it's immediately revealed. Appears to be Ebon once again making an appearance, but something appears to be a little bit off about him as he's sporting this garish smile. And it is quickly revealed that it is, in fact, not Ebon who is moving in on Hot Streak's attempt to steal the motorcycle. It is, in fact, a new villain by the name of Leech, who... describing him, he's Parasite.
Yeah.
He's
Parasite, with the Morbius Spider-Man the Animated Series suction cup hands.
And a little bit of like the Super Skrull idea of like, mm-hmm. when you get the person's powers, it changes your physical form to sort mm-hmm. of match mm-hmm. what they look like. So we get a bunch of different previously designed heroes kind of mashed into one, which works, of course, for the episode. But as we get the reveal here, we realize that this character does have the ability to exchange powers, or actually not exchange powers, to steal powers completely from whoever he touches, in the same way that Parasite does. And he grabs hold of Hot Streak, draining him of his powers, taking on his heat powers, and then absconds with Hot Streak off into one of Ebon's powers portals, and dropping him off in a jail cell. And it's revealed that Ebon is also kept up in this in a similar jail cell across from him. And we get the reveal that this character Leech is seemingly some sort. He's out to collect all of these villains in some form or fashion. So we then cut to your and my favorite character of this third season, of course, which is none other than the great Bernie Rast, who is sitting in his office, and he is pitching to Lil Romeo, who's playing video games, the idea of being able to sign on and do all these projects with him. And it's interesting because Lil Romeo says, he describes Lil Romeo as the biggest person in Hollywood today, which I know you had Lil Romeo on this show as a cameo, and as like, you know, he's showing up there. You're not going to talk badly about him, but I feel like describing him as the biggest person in Hollywood today in 2003, maybe in the DCAU, like maybe he was, there was no bigger star in the DCAU than DCAU Lil Romeo, because I think even Lil Romeo would probably admit he was not the biggest star in Hollywood in 2003, or today for that matter. But regardless, Bernie is pitching him all of these projects, and Lil Romeo is seemingly very disinterested because he's yet to sign any contracts. But in true Bernie Rast fashion, Bernie has pitched a contest locally to have two girls to direct his Lil Romeo's next music video, unbeknownst to Lil Romeo, who was taken aback, saying that he's not interested in having two strangers direct his video. He'll pass. But once Bernie says that not only can the girls get Static Shock or Static to appear in the video, but he can also get Lil Romeo his very own Static uniform and costume, Lil Romeo's fully on board at that.
But listen, I've got the perfect way for you to connect with your fans, to show them that you're a regular dude.
They already know that.
Right, my bad. Anyway, it's like this. I held a contest.
You what?
And these two girls won the chance to direct your next video.
Look, I'm sure they cool and all, but I don't have time to do some girls' home movie. I pass.
Wait. Guess who these girls guarantee they can get to be in the video with you?
Who?
Only your favorite superhero!
Static?
Word. We could even get you your own Static costume.
For real?
If I ask him to, it's done, baby. Static and me, we did a big show together, and so we tight. You know what I'm saying? It ain't no thing but a chicken wing.
Okay, Mr. Rass. If you really got Static, you got a deal.
Trust me, I've got Static.
What?
We didn't mean to promise we could get Static. It just kind of came out that way when we filled out the contest entry form.
Of course, it's revealed that the two people that have promised that Static could be there in the and show up in cameo in the video are none other than Daisy and Frida, who happen to have won this contest that Bernie put out. So, of course, it all fixes together there. And we cut to the school where Daisy and Frida are talking to a very surprised Virgil, who can't believe that they promised to get Static in the video, but they sort of somewhat apologize and say, well, it's just kind of came out, and we don't think that he'll have much of a problem. And Static's or Virgil is seemingly also uninterested, only for them to cut scenes to Static back in the chair getting the makeup placed, just as we saw him in last week's episode. So something
real classic sitcom, like, no, I'll never do it again, and then immediate cut to them doing whatever they said they would never do.
Yeah, absolutely. A classic comedy trope. There's a lot of comedy in this episode, especially from Bernie, who is just dropping incredible one-liners throughout the... He's only in pretty much like the first quarter of the episode, but boy, does he make a lasting impact. Everything that he says is absolutely off the wall. Everything you could possibly want from the comedic relief for a cartoon is exactly what happens in this episode from Bernie. So we get some more comedy occurring on the set of the music video, and including Static showing up and realizing that it looks like that Lil Romeo was promised his own Static costume. He gets to dress up as Static, and suddenly there's two young men that look a lot like each other in the same costume. I thought they were going to do like a Parent Trap thing, and they kind of sort of do. but in the meantime, as Lil Romeo and Static are kind of getting to know each other, Lil Romeo lets Static know that he really looks up to Static, and Static is one of his heroes. And Static kind of gives him a little bit of background and shows him how his powers work. Lil Romeo has a little like electricity thing built into his costume just for a little part of the video, apparently. And Static kind of gives him the full tour of his own powers. And lets Lil Romeo know that his one weakness, of course, is water, and that being doused in water, it will completely short circuit him. And we need that tucked away for a plot point later on in the episode. So from that point, we see Leech's next move is to go after Talon, who herself is doing some nefarious activities in and around Dakota. Leech shows up posing as Ebon, but once again reveals himself not to be Ebon. He zaps Talon's powers, which apparently, interestingly enough, it's pretty inconsistent for the episode how the power stealing works. In the case of Talon, he steals her wings and she loses her wings completely, because obviously it wouldn't make sense if he stole her powers of flight and she still had wings. like she would still be able to fly, I guess. So you had to do the visual of her losing the wing. So he zaps her powers. He takes her wings from her. And that's where we get our first interaction between Static, Gear, and this new villain Leech. As Gear goes off mid film of Lil Romeo's music video and ruins the shot, but Static and Gear have to get away in order to do their best to stop this new metahuman. They have this brief interaction where Static is able to stay away far enough from Leech to not get his powers taken, but of course, Leech does get away with Talon using Ebon's powers, and that kind of sets us up as we head back to the music video for exactly what's going to happen next. Perhaps the aforementioned Parent Trap plot point stolen here.
So we start on you flying over the Ferris wheel, and we tilt down to Lil Romeo on the stage. Then you land next to him and sing along.
Got it.
Okay, this is a run through. And action!
Static and Rome, we down all the way. Playing it straight, it's crime never pays. Static and Rome, down all the way. Playing it straight, it's crime never pays. Okay.
I'd come back for you.
Hey, let me go, you freak!
Static, this is terrible!
What do you mean? Nobody killed me.
She's not talking about you. Little Romeo's just been kidnapped.
That's right. So as they try to set up the next shot for the music video, Static is waiting for his cue. He's floated off into the sky. He's supposed to come flying in for this shot. And so Romeo is on the stage and in his Static costume dancing. And all of a sudden we see that familiar Ebon-like tunnel, and the Leech appears and quickly grabs what he thinks is Static and takes him away, much to the shock of all of the onlookers, including Gear, Frida, and Daisy, and Bernie Rast, who immediately faints, which was really funny. And but of course, Static not being there and not having his shock vox on him because he gave it to Romeo, is unaware of the happenings right away until Gear lets him in. So lets him in on the secret. So all of a sudden the pop star has been kidnapped. He's taken back to this jail where the Leech has the rest of the Bang Babies here. Worth noting, I think they say at the start of the episode that Leech, he calls himself a metahuman, but then refers to Hot Streak and Ebon as you Bang Baby. So he's not a Bang Baby. He is a freewheeling metahuman. He's a freelancer. It's just came to town with
unrelated to the Big Bang.
That's right. He just saw all these powers. He's like, hey, these guys are cool. But anyway, yes. So Leech slowly realizes his mistake, and of course Romeo has the shock vox on him from earlier, and so Static can hear radio to Romeo. And Leech demands that Static meet him on the other side of this amusement park and to come alone, or else Romeo will be in grave danger. So Static goes and finds Romeo, who is in a very reminiscent of Batman the Animated Series Be a Clown episode, handcuffed and trapped in a roller coaster going down a track with no brakes. Static is trying to free Romeo from this roller coaster, but he is finally able to stop it while trying to play keep away and not letting Leech grab him and take his powers. But finally, as he is able to finally stop Romeo inside of this tunnel, finally the Leech grabs him and takes him back to base, where he in fact absorbs those powers and has now added Static to his collection. There's sort of a lot of panic around the city as Gear and the girls and Romeo are trying to figure out what's going on. We see Bernie Rast has already moved on and is trying to recast the superheroes for his for his product, asking for Robin or the Green Kid from the Titans. Does that work with canon? I'll leave that up to other DCAU podcasters to answen.
Happened right over there.
I can't get Robin. Hey, what about the kid in the Titan? Yeah, the green one. I can send a limo right now.
If only I could have done something.
Don't worry. Gear will find Static. How many empty jails can there be in the city?
Did you see anything else at the jail that might help?
No. I told you everything. It was just a jail. Wait. Hang on. Leech punched the wall, but it wasn't made of brick. I think it was fake, just like in the movies.
But no. I mean, maybe it's a different green kid. Maybe it's Miss Martian. We don't know.
Yeah, it could be.
But anyway, we are left to wonder exactly how Static's going to get himself out of this pickle with him and all of the other Bang Baby's powers missing. But Romeo, while talking with Frida and Daisy, remembers that the jail itself was seemed to not actually be a real jail. There was, in fact, the walls, he said, seemed very, very fake. And so, of course, Daisy and Frida realize that must mean that they're at the old abandoned movie studio, which apparently still has a full set, despite being abandoned for decades, has a full set, a full working jail set. That is still standing, and they take Romeo in his limo there. They don't tell Gear where they're going for some reason.
Yep.
They just decide the three of them are going to go, and then Romeo sends the girls in the limo to the police station to find them again. I think he still has the shock box. He could call Gear at any time, mm-hmm. but he doesn't. And as he's standing outside of the movie theater, having sort of promised with his fingers crossed that he wouldn't go inside to look for Static, he sees Leech leaving the area, now having absorbed Static's powers as well. And so he rushes inside, finds the keys and frees Static and the rest of the metahumans. Just as Leech is coming back, there's a brief scene where Leech is out like robbing an armored car, and Gear tries to stop him, and then he gets tied up, which I guess is the answer to why Gear isn't. It doesn't answer why Gear isn't asked by Romeo to accompany him to the hideout once they figure out where they are, but it's an answer of why Gear isn't in our final action beat, and little Romeo has to save the day, I guess. So that sets up our final confrontation. The villains and Static and Romeo seem to be escaping, but of course Ebon and the rest decide to double cross and lock Static and Romeo in the movie studio with a now very angry Leech, who has lost out on the rest of his Bang Baby meals. And so a very angry Leech versus a powerless Static and Romeo is sort of our final confrontation here as we get towards the end of the episode.
Yeah, as the villains, as you mentioned, leave Static and Lil Romeo behind, and Leech realizes that Static is there trying to charge up. He just happens to assume that Static is probably not left the building despite everybody else being gone. But just by looking at a lamp and a lamp flickering in an old abandoned movie studio, it couldn't just be that the light bulb was dying. He immediately thought that Static might be somewhere close by. What did you know? He's right. So he flies over and zaps what Static had been charging from one of the lights, the set lights in the studio, and all seems hopeless as little Romeo runs off and he's up on some sort of scaffolding overlooking the entire set. And using his powers stolen from Talon, Leech flies up onto the scaffolding. Don't know why he thought little Romeo was a threat when clearly we knew he wasn't, because he doesn't have powers. But I guess his hubris, as is the case with all great villains, his hubris gets the best of him as he decides he's going to deal with and taunt little Romeo, who's up on the scaffolding. And wouldn't you know, sitting up in the rafters next to the scaffolding is the whole building's sprinkler system, which of course mm-hmm. little Romeo looks at, realizes this is his one opportunity, his one shot to seize everything. Wrong rapper, sorry. he decides he's going to he can use the built-in sort of faux electricity generator.
All tapped out, aren't you, Static? And you're gonna stay that way.
Sprinklers,
I'll just use your powers to trap the others again.
You're out of your league, kid.
Yeah? Well, you're all washed up. Status power, but you got this weakness too.
First shot, what a shot it is. Nailed it right away. And this causes the sprinkler system to go off, which causes Leech to collapse in agony as he's short-circuited. As Lil Romeo reveals, not only did he absorb all of the strengths and powers of the villains, but just like the aforementioned parasite, he absorbed all of their weaknesses as well. So the kryptonite to this Leech is water. So he is taken down by Lil Romeo, and that is the end of our villain's tale here. Is getting outside, as you mentioned, not somewhere off screen. Gear captured all of the other villains who were running around without their powers, and was able to trap them. And as Lil Romeo and Static escort the Leech outside, the police are there waiting for him and take him with the other three off to Metahuman jail. So that wraps up the episode, Liam. We have an interesting little ending to the episode here. I will just say this: it's a fun episode, and as a child, I would very much enjoy this. I love the villain. I like Leech a lot. I love the idea that he didn't just steal Static's powers; that he's out there stealing multiple metahuman villain powers also. I think I probably would have liked a little bit to see Static team up with the evil metahumans for once. I think that probably could have been an interesting wrinkle for him to have to work with them and ally with those people. But I get it. It's a kid's show, and you want to make the bad guys the bad guys. So the bad guys got to be bad. If not, they're not bad guys, right? It seems logical. So I get it, but I think the one thing that I do not like about this, which we had talked about on the specifically on the crossover episodes that we've reviewed so far of Static, and I think even the crossover episode of Zeta with Batman Beyond, in that you kind of have to let your main hero be the hero, and you can't really it makes it difficult when you kind of undermine him and you don't make him the hero of the story. Now obviously this is all happenstance. Lil Romeo gets to be the hero because he has this little device and Static reveals to him what his weakness is, but you kind of needed him to bail out Static at the end of the day, which makes Static look a little bit weaker. And you know, if it wasn't for this celebrity, then Static would have been toast. So I don't like that aspect of the story. And who knows, maybe that's a condition of having a celebrity as make a cameo or have a starring role in your show. It's like, oh, we're gonna have you on the show. Well, he's got to be the hero. He's got to do something cool. Like, he can't just be the person that somebody saves or whatever. So who knows? But I think as far as a storytelling device, if you're going to have a cameo or story like this where you have other celebrities, I use that term loosely, celebrities involved, then it would I want the hero to be the hero. And I don't think that necessarily was the case for this episode. So that affected my plot score a little bit. So I ended up giving plot a 6 out of 10 for this week's episode. Again, I liked the episode. I think there's a lot of fun, but I just was a little bit disappointed that Static ends up kind of getting bailed out by the celebrity guest star.
Yeah, I think there's just maybe a more like, or maybe if Static sees the sprinklers and like calls out to Romeo to do it, even.
Right.
Like, so he's a little bit more active as opposed to him being, you know, knocked out off screen and Romeo solving this issue by himself after we've established that this guy is like, you know, the baddest metahuman we've ever seen, who took down Ebon off screen, and then he took down, you know, all these other powerful characters on screen. So yeah, you probably could have had, and again, like a Parasite episode of Superman, it's kind of fun sometimes to see the character when they don't have their fastball, when they don't have their powers, how they have to outthink a problem. And in this right. case, Static doesn't have to outthink it. Romeo outthinks it, which is fine. Like, it's fine. And again, like we said, you imagine you want to give the shine to the special guest star who's a real life celebrity. I get that. I don't hate it, but yeah, it's I agree there. I feel like we're robbed. It's almost like I wish the Leech villain had been saved for a different episode.
Right. Yeah.
Because like you said, Static teaming up with his villains, and they're all depowered, and they're trying to figure out a way to escape this guy. That's an interesting story. Static being depowered on his own and trying to stop a guy with his powers is really interesting. So it's kind of a shame that gets like packed into our wacky little comedic celebrity guest star episode. Cause I mean, at the end of the day, like, a villain just needed to kidnap Lil Romeo, right? Like, it didn't have to be this guy specifically. So it's like, it's almost like, it's a little bit of a waste of a really cool villain concept and a cool, you know, episode that we haven't necessarily seen. I mean, we've seen episodes where Static's powers are shorted out by water, or the Sunspots episode where his powers are kind of fading, but mm-hmm. yeah, it would have been interesting to see him it resolved in a way where Static had a more active role, I guess.
I would say, yeah, even if it's just them like teaming up, like they're running around together, and yeah, like you said, Romeo can be the one to hit the sprinklers or whatever, but like mm-hmm. Static kind of laying there helplessly, and Romeo ends up being the crescendo of the episode, is him saving the day, like with Static nowhere to be found. I would have much rather enjoyed like a team up between the two of them, with him doing Romeo doing something heroic alongside Static mm-hmm. versus him saving the world essentially.
Again, even like just some dialogue where Static's like, you know, like, hey, I'm going to go after him head on, but if this doesn't work, I have another idea that I need you to be ready for. And then you cut, you don't know what the idea is. And then, oh my gosh, he has Static dead to rights. And then we see Romeo, you know, he throws his quip and then he pulls the fire alarm or whatever, or shoots his little special effects laser at the sprinklers and sets them off and saves the day. So yeah, that would have been more fun to see them team up, as opposed to Lil Romeo ending up flying solo. And also they really sideline Gear in this episode. That is the other problem. I think they always had the built-in excuse in Batman why Robin didn't have to be in every episode with him being off at college. Yeah. I feel like once you establish it as like a full-time duo, it's harder to make up reasons why the second superhero in the show can't just get involved and figure out a way to save the day. Overall, if I didn't say I also gave it a 6 out of 10, I had a lot of fun watching the episode. Of the two Static Shock celebrities playing themselves episodes that we've watched for this show so far, I like this one a lot better than Static Shack. So plus there, although I think that one had Carmandillo. So, you know, point in Static Shack's favor. But overall, I think it's fun, a little bit hamstrung by the concept, but a solid enough and enjoyable enough episode from a plot perspective. And from there, Cal, we will move on to our talk about visuals and animation. Once again, a lot of these season three episodes of Static, there are just no directors credited. So apologies to whoever's work were.
I feel like that's a hallmark of the show. It's a hallmark of the show to not have a director.
And I don't know if that's like, if that's a cost cutting measure. We should probably ask our friend who worked on the show right. questions like these. We always we'll make a list for him when we have him on the show next, but I don't know if that's a cost-cutting measure, and so there's just like nobody, like there's just like storyboard artist and then like a general overseer who's looking at it, like if the producers of the show are looking at it or how that works, or if it's actually just an accident and there's somebody's work here who is still not being credited years later. But either way, there's no director. We do have a Coco on animation this week. What stood out to you as far as positives or negatives? I know as the DCAU wiki will let you know, there's a lot of like coloring mistakes, which I know can kind of stick in your craw at times. What stood out to you as far as visuals and animation this week?
Yeah, that didn't stick out as much to me this week. I think we can start with the Leech character design, I guess, since we talked about him. He definitely, while he may have the same power set as the Parasite or you know, Super Skrull or whoever else, Morbius, similar powers to Morbius, or the suction cup things on his hands with Morbius, he's certainly his own creature. I really liked the design. I thought it was pretty striking. They made him, his arms are a little bit lankier, which gives him a wider, I guess he doesn't have to be as close, like you don't have to be as close to him. So there's a threat there that he can kind of get you from further away. It also kind of gives you that Slenderman monster type look to him. They also designed him without lips, so his teeth are on the outside. So his teeth are present whether his mouth is open or closed, which is a little bit terrifying. So he's kind of got a little Ghost Rider type thing going on there also. And I even though it's a little bit ridiculous, as the DCAU wiki points out, that when he gets Static's powers or Hot Streak's powers, that the only thing that visually changes is his hair, to sort of indicate that he has their powers. I thought that was fine. Like, I thought it was pretty funny that Static's powers show up as the skeleton, this green skeleton man having dreadlocks.
Yeah, and it's kind of, I mean, it's similar to like the first Amazo episode. It's like, well, how do you visualize like Wonder Woman's powers? Okay, he grows the bracelets. Her power isn't the bracelets, but you have to visualize it somehow that he's now absorbed her. Same thing with Static and Hot Streak. Like, there's nothing else, unless he's going to like grow their clothes or something. If you want a visual indicator that he's using that power, you kind of have to go with the hair, because it's the most like recognizable thing besides the clothes.
Yeah.
He should have just grown the little soul patch, though. Actually, he does. He does have the little red soul patch, I think, in a couple shots too, which is a nice touch.
Well, I think the most interesting form certainly is the Ebon form with the giant teeth. That's something straight out of a nightmare. Yeah, nightmare fuel for sure. That's why when he first shows up, I obviously, not having seen this episode in 20 years, probably. This episode, by the way, originally debuted April 19th, 2003. So we're 21 years ago is when this episode debuts on the Kids WB here in the States. You know, I had no recollection of who this character was. So when he shows up, I was like, why in the world did they give Ebon teeth? Like, this is super weird. He looks super creepy. But yeah, obviously that is revealed why. But yeah, I think when he's in his various forms and using the different he's got Talon's wings with Ebon's skin and stuff like that, very creepy looking stuff, kind of mashing all these powers up together. So yeah, an interesting character. And even though, like we said, he's probably borrowed some of his power set from pre-established characters, I think that the visualization of it for a kids cartoon and for this episode, I really, really enjoyed, because it makes him kind of stand out as an amalgamation of all these different these power sets that he's grasping. So I did enjoy that. I think the majority of the action, unfortunately, we get a lot of standing around and a lot of talking for maybe the first half of the episode, I'd say, not including the part where he absconds with Hot Streak and then absconds with Talon. We get a little bit of interaction between him and Static, but we don't really get much fighting going on until the scene with Lil Romeo at the amusement park. I loved that. That's always a great setting. I mean, of course, there's always an amusement park for the villains to use. A tale as old as time. And setting Lil Romeo on the trap, in the trap, was interesting. I will say, I didn't love having Lil Romeo in the Static costume the entire episode. Again, maybe that was contractual to get him to appear I would have liked, but again, you had to have him in the suit. Like, why would he be wearing the suit after the filming of the music video was done? Doesn't make a whole lot of sense, right? If you think about it too hard. But sure, he shows up to the old movie studio wearing the Static costume. He's just a man about town in his new favorite Static costume that he just got. So, and you had to have him wear it so that he could use the powers at the end. So, yeah, I think that, you know, this is the greatest hits of all of Static's powers, villain's powers also, that we get visualized. So all of Ebon's portals and, stretching and swirling around, and then you get Hot Streak's fire, and you get Talon's flying, and even Static's electricity obviously gets in the mix there. It looks cool. Once we kind of get some of that fighting going on, I loved when he kind of appears out of nowhere and grabs Static in the inside the tunnel on the roller coaster, and then again, a great setting. Logic aside, of the abandoned Dakota movie studio having a full entire movie set and working lights inside. All things considered, though, it's a very fun setting for the final the final fight to occur. But you don't really get to interact with a whole bunch of the stuff. I think it would have been even more interesting if that fight between him and Static was a little bit. Or maybe there was some more chasing going on. You could have included some more interesting locales for them to kind of dip in and hide around in, but it's just kind of not used for that purpose. So yeah, I think there is a lot to enjoy. I think everybody looks pretty on model for the episode. I mean, Lil Romeo looks like Lil Romeo in cartoon form, and
straight out of the movie Max Keeble's Big Move.
Dang, if that isn't a throwback Thursday for you right there. Woo. Speaking of the biggest stars in Hollywood, yeah.
Starring Robert Carradine and some other people.
The defense rests, Your Honor. Biggest star in Hollywood. yeah. I wish there was some more interaction and fighting. Again, as we said at the end there, the culmination of the fight is this hulking villain is going to bring down the cameo celebrity superstar cameo. And he just shoots a little bit of electricity at the sprinklers, which bring him down. But I thought the convulsions that he has a little bit at the end, as he's being shocked, I guess, were pretty interesting as he kind of depowers in those moments. Those were fine, but overall, I think everything looks okay. I wish there was a little bit more action, a little bit more interesting fighting to go around, but I ended up settling on a 7 out of 10. What about you?
Yeah, I actually I gave it just a 1 point higher at 8 out of 10. I really, really like that Leech design. As you kind of mentioned, he could be like, he really misses calling as like a power forward in the NBA. Because like you mentioned, he's got those long arms and big hands. So he would have been a champion rebounder if his life had taken a different turn. But unfortunately, he had to become a weird zombie guy. But no, I love that design. It's really, really striking. And as you mentioned, especially when he's using the Ebon form, very, very creepy looking. So a great design there. Definitely wish we saw more of the some more super powered fights, especially him with all the powers. Like it would have been fun seeing Gear get kind of a solo fight too, but it's 5 seconds.
Or him rounding up the villains.
Yeah, that could have been at least a fun little sequence. As it stands, there's some fun stuff in there. And again, I think a lot of the credit just goes to the character designs and to what we've already talked about. So also I'm a fan of Static when they've done this a couple times in this season where he loses the coat and he's just like the sleeveless shirt Static look.
Yes, I do too.
I think that's kind of a fun change of pace of visuals for him as well. So I think it's a really good solid outing from our animation studio Coco and our director ? But from there, Cal, we will move on to music. As mentioned, we do of course once again have the musical stylings of Richard Wolfe Wolf. Right off the bat, we get his weird Hot Streak song, where a guy's just shouting fire over and over again, which is a lot of fun. And then, as mentioned, we get a couple of actual real songs from Lil Romeo, including Play Like Us and Bring It, are both credited in the credits. There's also, like, he's doing, like, a freestyle about him and Static at one point.
Yeah, that's, like, the song. I think that's the song that they're filming the video for, right?
Is that right? What... I was hoping that he recorded, like, a full song that I was going to try to find on YouTube. But unfortunately, no. I guess they just put this little, like, 4-second clip that we hear of him singing about how him and Static are stopping the bad guys or whatever. But I was like, God, I wish they had made a whole song, like a whole music video out of this that would have played in, you know, like on Cartoon Network when they would show a movie or something and they had to do something. It ended a little early, so they would be like 5 minutes to the top of the hour.
Yeah.
And they would show something random. A lot of times they would air like the Fleischer Superman cartoons or something, but it's like, what if we had a 4-minute Lil Romeo Static Shock music video we could have placed in between Cartoon Network's Cartoon Theater and whatever was coming on next? Just missed opportunities here. But yes, and in addition to Mr. Wolf's usual offerings, we also have some real songs from the young Lil Romeo's catalog as well. So you're never short for words when it comes to the music on Static Shock. So what did you think this week?
Yeah, I mean, overall, there were quite a few tracks. I didn't have as much time this week to copy down the lyrics, but definitely worth checking out. We got full versions of. I didn't think we had gotten as many verses as we did in the "Fight Fire with Fire" song, but the two Lil Romeo tracks were fine. Again, I personally like. I have to remove myself to give these an objective score because I don't like lyrics in a soundtrack for a children's cartoon. Like it just goes against what I'm programmed to know. And like that said, the musical pieces are fine and they're catchy and they're interesting. So I ended up giving music a pretty strong 7 out of 10.
Yeah, I once again went with the exact same score, 7 out of 10. I think it's a fun episode. Like I said, I feel like there should have been, maybe they should have brought that Lil Romeo like Static freestyle back when at the end when they're teaming up, and maybe if they had a more active team up, they would have. But yeah, I liked hearing the actual songs in there, and it makes sense because of who we have in the episode. But yeah, kind of a strange. Kind of a strange episode for music. We don't get as much of our usuals. We also, there's a couple little, like, again, very sitcom like Sanford and Son when they transition on Virgil going, no, I'll never do that, I'll never get back on a set again, and then you immediately cut to him back on the set. And then the very last shot, they do those Looney Tunes where it like closes in a,
yeah,
like it fades into black in circle, whatever, circle, yep, out wipe, whatever that's called. Mm-hmm. And it plays this little like wow, so like, yep, this weird little string thing, like it's very, very, very much out of a like a Looney Tunes or something.
Yeah.
And the show as well, so some fun little flourishes put in there in addition to our usual fare and our Lil Romeo tracks.
Absolutely.
All right, Cal, and that's going to bring us to our final category, which is of course voice acting. So yeah, we've got quite the guest stars here, and I'm not just talking about Lil Romeo.
Yeah, that's right. We'll go through our bit players here first. We of course had Danica McKellar and Crystal Scales as Frida and Daisy, albeit briefly. They have a turn as the directors of the music video and the scene with Virgil and Richie where they're trying to explain away how they promised to get Static to show up for the filming of the video. Not a lot that they're required to do here. I guess they do have the additional scene with Lil Romeo as they're sort of trying to console him in the back of the limousine, but not a ton for them to do for this week, I'd say.
Yeah, I do like the bit when they're like, oh, your fans would kill us if we let you out here alone, not to mention our producer. Like there's some funny little bits they get to do, or the bit where they're like, well, we're gonna put flyers up and maybe Static will see them and agree to do the music video. like it's such a harebrained scheme that is completely contingent on the fact that they don't know that Virgil and Richie are Static in gear. But there's some good little comedy bits for them to do, at least.
For sure. joining them in some minor parts this week, of course, is Tia Texada, who plays Talon. And then we also have, of course, Gary Sturgis. I'd say the great Gary Sturgis, mm-hmm. doing his best Ice-T impersonation as Ebon, and Danny Cooksey as Hot Streak. The three of them, again, not a ton that they had to do this week. There's a lot of sort of them acting surprised as they get ambushed by Leech. There is some conversation within the jail cell, kind of chiding each other as they kind of parade in as they've been captured. And then they do have some brief interactions with Static, both in the jail cell. Lil Romeo in the jail cell also. I'd say Danny Cooksey's interaction with Lil Romeo, asking him for an autograph, only to then explain away that it's for his sister, was pretty funny. But I didn't think there was anything to write home about anybody's performance there. Not that there was anything bad or good.
No, I do like when after they lock Romeo and Static into the studio and leave them for dead, seemingly, Hot Streak, as he's leaving, just goes, "I'll show you not to give me an autograph," and like shakes his fist. It's a very funny line reading from Mr. Cooksey.
There you go. And then, of course, the star of last week's episode, and I'd say the person that stole the show this week once again, was none other than the great Kevin Michael Richardson, who played one single role this week. No, Static's dad didn't show up. No, it's just Bernie Rast. And as I mentioned, as we were doing our breakdown of the episode's plot, I think you can best describe this performance as everything that you could possibly want from a comedy character in a kid's cartoon for this episode. Yep. He's indignant. He's fast talking. He's over the top ridiculous. I love that he calls Gear Gizmo. Yes. And then when Gear corrects him, he says, "Oh, love the new name," which I thought was just fantastic. And then, as you mentioned, you know, him on the phone trying to negotiate to get Robin and being incredulous over the fact that he can't get him, and then the whole fainting bit that happens. But maybe the least surprising thing is Kevin Michael Richardson, really good at not only voice acting, but specifically this over the top ridiculous character that he just gets to really emote and do all kinds of ridiculous things with.
Yes, he's so funny. Even, you know, again, he's fainting when Romeo gets kidnapped, even just like the little grunts and things that he does. Like he really maximizes his minutes too, because you pointed out he's not all over the show like he was in last week's episode that we talked about. So yeah, you really good bits with him. He's constantly like trying to be this like cool, confident, slick producer, and he's also just constantly exasperated and freaking out and worried. Like when Static and Gear get the alarm when they go off to try to stop Talon when Leech grabs her, he's just immediately like annoyed that they're leaving to stop a crime because they're gonna put them off schedule. Like he's like, "Oh, we gotta go stop a crime." He's like, "Yeah, you're also hurting. You're also stopping us being on time," or whatever he says. Like, he's just so indignant and exasperated at all times while trying to, even when that first scene where he's trying to convince Lil Romeo that this whole contest thing was a good idea in the first place. He's just, yeah, really, really maximizes his minutes this week, does Mr. Richardson.
There you go. And of course, equally important for this episode is none other than Percio Romeo Miller III, aka Lil Romeo, playing himself in this week's episode. I didn't realize that Master P, who is his dad, obviously, also named Percio Romeo Miller. So it's a generational name there. So yeah, so Lil Romeo, who currently goes by just Romeo these days, I guess because he's not so Lil anymore. Mm-hmm. I would say I think adequate would be the word that I would use. I think when it comes to celebrities that do voice acting work, I probably would not put this one, if I were him, I would not put this on my like reel to try and get jobs. Again, though, at this point, He was 13 years old, or probably 12 or 13 years old when this was recorded. So child acting, we know, is a very unique talent, and that not all child actors can do voiceover acting. So cut him a break. He's obviously a fine entertainer, fine rapper, all of that. But maybe not.
If he ends up doing anything bad, in which case we disavow him completely. As with all celebrities that we praise on this show.
This is
very
true.
In the future they do something bad, in which case we never liked them.
We reserve the right to have a retroactive opinion on them. But yeah, as far as we know, when it comes to this young man, nothing to be ashamed of at this point, at the time of recording. No. So I'll just say he was adequate. I don't think he was great, and I don't think he was terrible. He's just kind of somewhere in the middle.
Yeah, no, I did enjoy when he's kidnapped Leech and he says something about, oh, my posse is going to be all over you, and Leech makes some joke about, oh, I'm not scared of any street gang, and he's like, oh, I'm talking about my lawyers. Like that's a good joke. I don't know that it was delivered spectacularly, but I thought that was probably his best moment in the episode. That and kind of just acting generally annoyed by Bernie Rath. So yeah, not a great role. Eventually he had like a Nickelodeon sitcom, I think, where Master P, his real life dad, played his sitcom dad as well. So he got plenty of acting reps later, but this would almost undoubtedly be his first voice acting role. And as we know, not every great on-screen actor translates to voice acting. And then, like you said, you add in the fact that he wasn't exactly a full-time actor at this point, and he's a kid. Like, yeah, there's a lot working against it. So I feel like when you come out of it and it wasn't completely terrible, you're like, all right, good enough.
Right, exactly. And then rounding out this week, Liam, before we get to, of course, our two main heroes, I was shocked, and I think based on your lead-in, you were also somewhat shocked, providing the voice of our main villain this week, of course, of Scream fame, also perhaps Ready to Rumble fame, former World Championship Wrestling heavyweight champion, and husband of Courtney Cox, David Arquette, ex-husband of Courtney Cox, David Arquette, voices Leech for this week's episode. And
C-Spot Run's own David Arquette.
His wiki page also mentions appearances in Buffy the Vampire Slayer, which I was not aware of. Maybe the movie? Maybe Buffy the movie? I don't know. I don't remember. Anyway, David Arquette, he has I don't know that the voice matches like what the villain itself looks like. I was a little taken aback almost immediately. Like, you have this creepy looking green skin, toothy skeleton man show up, and he's voiced by this very over the top enunciating actor, David Arquette. But I think by the end of the episode, it works, because he's just kind of a maniac and insane and acts as such throughout the episode. So he's definitely a dynamic voice. I think he definitely has a voice for voice acting, because he can emote in all of these insane ways. I'm surprised that he didn't get more DCAU work, because it seems like the type of actor that you would kind of look to see based on. I think he just does such a great job in emoting and being over the top and maniacal and all of that. He provides a great villain voice. So I was pleasantly surprised that Mr. Arquette was the voice of Leech for this week.
Absolutely. Yeah. Like you said, it doesn't immediately sound like him, especially, I think, because if you've heard him speak, I think he would be the first one to admit he lived a pretty hard and fast life in his 20s and 30s. Mm-hmm. And so he has a very strong rasp to his voice if you ever hear him speak now, and he has this very kind of boyish chuckle and giggle to everything he says, at least in interviews and things that I've seen him in the last couple of years. So it was really hearing him not only younger, where he doesn't have that quite as much gravel and rasp to his voice. And then also, yeah, he appears to be putting on this very kind of sinister Saturday morning cartoon villain voice. It's like, again, it's like, I don't think he does a bad job, but it's one of those things where, like, what's, you know, getting this guy who's pretty recognizable, especially around this time, like, this is kind of the height, right? This is like post Scream, post the first Scream movie, and and like where he's like a legitimate movie star, and you said, you know, married at this point to like one of the most famous women in America, and it's like hey, you get him, and then you kind of, again, credit to him, because neither of us could tell it was him, so it wasn't distracting in any way. But I think I liked him better than the go-to example I feel like we always have is when William H. Macy showed up in that Batman Beyond episode, and we're like, what
is he doing here?
Like, this incredibly talented character actor, first of all, you couldn't tell, and second of all, he wasn't very good from my memory in that episode. And you're like, what happened here? Like, how is this possible? And then, so in this one, it's like I said, I think he does a good, solid job, but it almost seems like getting a guy of his acting chops, and then sort of, you know, far be it for me to ever question the voice direction of the great Andrea Romano, but it's just interesting to hear him go for this kind of very dry sinister, like, we don't get a lot of sense of who, like, Leech is as a personality. Maybe that's part of the idea, is he's just this blank slate, and he just takes, and he's just consumption is the only thing he cares about. But yeah, he plays him very straight and very, very one note. But I don't think he does a bad job. It's just there's not a ton of personality, I think, especially when you compare him to, like, you know, our regular static villains who are all in this episode, like, you know, Tia Texada and Gary Sturgis and everyone, like, who are just overflowing with personality. It's kind of interesting to see this very dry, you know, kind of one note performance out of such a notable actor as he is.
Yeah, absolutely. And then, kind of a very surprising voice cast there from performance. But wrapping things up for this week, as we mentioned, of course, our leads for the series, Jason Marsden doing his best Gear and Richie for this week. Not a lot for him to do, as we mentioned. His entire plot point gets resolved off screen after he's handedly defeated by Leech. And then, but of course, the star of the show, Phil LaMarr, who, despite his character being relegated to the background for a significant portion of the episode and playing supporting role to Lil Romeo, I still think, Mr. LaMarr does a great job. I think he even gets to play, one of the police officers' voices at the end, as they're taking Leech away. But,
By the way, I forgot to mention in visuals, but one of the police officers who shows up at the beginning in Hot Streak has a high top fade for some reason. And I just think that's wonderful. It's like all of a sudden Kid and Play. It's just like a cop in Dakota for some reason. It doesn't make any sense. Never seen a cop with a high top fade before. So I was very amused by that. I didn't want to let the episode go by without mentioning that.
Good add there. Thoughts on Mr. LaMarr and Mr. Marsden's performances?
Yeah, I think, like I said, I think they're solid. It's not their episode. A lot is given to our guest stars, I don't think they did anything wrong. Like I said, there's a little bit of comedy with Danica McKellar and Crystal Scales as Daisy and Frida, as mentioned, and a little bit of interplay between him and Mr. Marsden. But yeah, I think they do a solid job, but not a ton asked of them this week. They have to do that scene where Static explains his powers and how they work so that you can set up Romeo saving the day at the end. And to pull off that level of, like, heavy-handed exposition and not have it be, like, the worst thing you've ever heard, a great testament to Mr. LaMarr's work.
Yeah.
Because it is very, very heavy-handed when he, you know, uses the light bulb to show him how his powers work. But yeah, good solid effort. But the for better or worse, the episode really rested on our guest stars to carry it this week.
I would argue that the episode rested on Kevin Michael Richardson's Bernie Rast, which has carried the heavy load, as far as I'm concerned, and the heavy lifting for this episode, which is why, solely based on his incredible voice acting for this episode, I ended up giving it an incredibly strong 9 out of 10.
Wow.
My gosh. If you want a seriously, if you want to hear just a clinic on how to do comedic children's cartoon voice acting, just that first 6 minutes with Bernie Rast. It's probably not even 6 minutes. It's probably like 3 minutes of Bernie Rast back and forth, and his dialogue with Lil Romeo, his dialogue with Static and Gear and the girls, and just, it's fantastic. Like he's, I don't know if, I mean, I can't speak for him. He sounds like he's having so much fun doing it. Like yes. He's playing a character that he's probably met in Hollywood at some point.
100%.
So he is having so much fun playing that character to its fullest extent. So a very strong score. I mean, and that's with me saying Lil Romeo was adequate. So that says a lot there. And I actually really did like, even though it didn't maybe fit the character completely, I do like David Arquette's performance. And I do like, of course, Mr. Lamar's performance as a supporting actor this week.
Yeah, absolutely. I ended up with an 8 out of 10 for similar reasons. Definitely Mr. Richardson really tapped into something with this Bernie Rast character. Overall, I think a pretty strong effort. And again, like we said, we've heard worse celebrity guest stars than Lil Romeo. I think he does a solid enough job. And then, like I said, it's also like, this is because of the way the episode is laid out. It's kind of like an all-star team for our regular Static villains and stuff. So getting Gary Sturgis and Danny Cooksey and Tia Tixada all in the same episode again. That's always fun anytime any of the Static villains show up together. So it's kind of I think that raises the average a little bit too, just how many of our regular favorites show up in this one. So yeah, a lot of fun there from our voice acting category. And that will bring us to the end, where we wrap up and total up our final scores here. And if I have tallied everything up correctly, Cal, it appears I have a final score of 29 out of 40 this week. What about you?
Yeah, despite us disagreeing on a few categories, we ended up with the exact same score. I also end up with a 29 out of 40.
There you go. I feel like it's gotten rarer over the last year or two when we have the exact same final score. So that's kind of a fun wrinkle here. As far as rewatchability go, it is the middle episode of the Bernie Rast trilogy. So I feel like his
the Bernie Strikes Back is what you're saying.
Exactly. We're left wanting more at the end here. And thankfully there is at least one more appearance by Bernie Rast. I think it's for Static purposes for the series, it's kind of a getting the kid who raps his theme song into an episode. Like, it's very memorable in that way, and it's kind of a fun idea as far as like integrating a celebrity playing themselves into the episode. Hard to say this is like a must watch. The Leech character doesn't come back. He's not really referenced ever again, which again is a shame, because like we said, it feels like there's more meat on the bone with this character and what his power set would mean for a Static and Gear. And that's the other thing. He doesn't take Gear's powers. He like makes a joke about it. Like, he's like, well, he could get Gear's power from a hardware store. And it's like, well, Gear's like a super genius. So if anything, he should take Gear's power, and then he'd just rule the world.
Yeah.
But anyway, that I'm just misleading notes I had. But so overall, I wouldn't say this is a must watch, certainly not for the entire DCAU. But there is, like we said, there are some crumbs here, and it is just a very memorable episode. I think if you were a kid watching Static Shock every week on Kids WB, you remember the Lil Romeo episode. Even if, like you said, we didn't I don't even know if we ever, I don't think we taped this one off of TV. I don't think we had this on, you know, on tape or anything, but I definitely remembered, always remembered. I remember seeing the commercials and everything leading up to it, that Lil Romeo was going to guest star on Static Shock. So it is kind of a seminal episode for the series in that way, I guess.
Yeah, I would agree with you. It's important to the series itself overall in the DCAU. Yeah, it's a shame. Like Leech would, we always talk about it. Like it seems like they didn't really want to include a lot of the milestone characters with the exception of Static in the JLU mm-hmm. stuff. But like Leech would have been a great add to you know, one of the supervillain teams, like just a mm-hmm. just an interesting character. You obviously you have the parasite. Him interacting with a parasite certainly would have been interesting with similar powers. Yeah. You know, they could just steal each other's power back and forth of being able to steal powers. Can you steal?
Do they just explode if they if they both try to? Here's the nerdiest question of the week, which you can add us at DCAU Review on Twitter /X and on Instagram. What would happen if Leech and Parasite simultaneously absorbed each other's powers at the same time? Is it just like a feedback loop? And they both like get knocked back, or how does it, like putting like two magnets of the same polarity against each other? How does that work? Someone explain it to me.
That'll also be our Spotify question of the week as well. So listen, if you listen on Spotify, check out the poll and the question of the week in the show notes.
Absolutely. All right, Cal. So that will begin to wrap us up. Thank you, everybody, for listening, whether you do so on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or, of course, the Pod Tower YouTube channel. We always appreciate it. A great free way to support us, as mentioned, will be to go ahead and give us a follow at DCAU Review on Twitter /X and Instagram, and Threads a tiny little bit occasionally. And Facebook, believe it or not, even though we use that even less than we use Threads. But yes, we are on all of the sites. You can find us searching for DCAU Review. Another great free way to support us is, of course, to subscribe to us on whatever your favorite podcast app is, as well as subscribing to the Pod Tower YouTube channel. That helps us out. And there's a couple of more direct ways you can support us in the show notes. There is a little donate button where you can support us directly. We have a few people who do that monthly, and it really, really helps us out. Really appreciate that. And of course, you can also head to our store and pick yourself up a mug or a hat or a shirt or something and support us that way as well. And again, as mentioned, a great, great way and a way to get more listeners for us, if you would like us to help the show grow, would be, of course, to leave us that review. Give us 5 stars and leave a review on Apple Podcasts. That really helps us get bumped up in the ever-changing and ever-shifting search algorithms on these various podcast apps. So however you choose to support us, we appreciate it, and we hope you'll continue to support us as we move into a new month starting next week. And with a new month comes another change in shows we're reviewing. So Cal, why don't you let the listeners know what we'll be talking about next week?
That's right, Liam. We will be back home where it all started for the month of March in 2024. That's right. We'll be heading back to review the show that we somehow still have episodes of left to review 7 years later. We've done a great job. I mean, it helps that it had the most episodes out of all of the mm-hmm. shows, but we still have some more Batman, the animated series to review. We are winding down, shockingly, the original run of Batman, the animated series and Adventures of Batman and Robin. So we will be delving in. We're picking back up where we left off, which is with a Riddler episode. We will be reviewing a friend of the show, Dan Reba, directed episode that involves what happens when the Riddler no longer wants to be a villain, but Batman just can't trust that he's no longer up to no good. That's right. It's Riddler's Reform. We'll be taking a look at that one next week on the show in complete and full detail. Looking forward to it, Liam. That's another one of those that we had on the Warner Brothers home videotape. And so saw it many, many a time. But yeah, haven't seen it in quite many years. So looking forward to checking that one out with you.
Absolutely, Cal. As you mentioned on the VHS Adventures in Batman Robin tapes, those that Riddler's Reform episode got a lot of watches in our household. Excited to go back to it for the first time in several years now. And that'll be next week. But until then, I'm Liam.
And I'm Cal.
And we'll talk to you on the next episode of the DCAU Review.
Bye-bye.